This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN.
327 Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN. I do think you're kind of in this limbo period if you're the Royals, if you're a fan of the Royals, because you're kind of in between where you want to be a month from now. You either want to be at the top of the standings or you want to be way out of it, because either of those two makes a decision really easy for you if you're Dayton Moore. Right now, four games under 500, four games back of the division lead, and you're just hoping. The worst case scenario would be for them to go like 500 over the next month. The worst case scenario would be for them to be four or five games out of the division lead, because at that point you can make a case in either which direction as to what they should do at the trade deadline. As we welcome on David Leske of Baseball Prospectus, Kansas City, how would you characterize the way the Royals are playing right now, David?
Right now, they're playing really, really well, and it's fun to watch. And it hasn't been fun to watch all season, so it's kind of nice. But if I wanted to characterize what the Royals are going to do in a month and a half, there's really no good way to send the shrug emoji over the radio, but that's pretty much what it comes down to. I don't know. You're right, because they're in a terrible spot right now. And the thing that we have to remember, that it's so much fun to look at the standings finally and say, oh, they're only three games out of the wild card. They're four games out of first. But they're 30-34. You know, they're, to me, let's get back to 500 and then we can talk. Because until then, it's just a blip on the radar that somebody else isn't getting hot enough to let them run away. And at some point, somebody will. And maybe it's the Royals. But it's, somebody has to get hot enough to run away, and right now 30-34 is not a record that I look at and say, all right, they're in this thing. I don't care how many games out they are.
I think it was about a month ago, and I told you that I don't think I was wrong about this team. I think I was wrong about the division, to the point of the Royals went on a little bit of a hot streak. All of a sudden, they're about where they're at now, four or five games out of the wild card, and I said, you know, I was wrong about how bad the AL Central was, because a little bit of a run all of a sudden puts them right back into the mix. So I guess in another way of asking that same question I asked you several weeks back is, what are you more concerned with? What the rest of the division is doing, where the Royals stand in the pecking order of the AL Central? Or are you more just hyper-focused on exactly what this team looks like and if they look like they could make a postseason run?
I think it's, at this point, we're still early enough, although it's not early, but we're still early enough that the team has, they just have to focus on themselves and getting wins. Because if they get wins, things will take care of themselves, since they play the Twins so many more times. They play the Indians so many more times. And they play the Tigers 16 more times. So, you know, they play the Twins and Indians three series each, but the Tigers, they played one series against. They have plenty of time to collect wins against teams they need to collect wins against. So it's really just all about them. At this point, you know, people say, oh, well, they're three games out of the wild card. They've got seven teams to pass. I don't care. Honestly, they're three games out. That's what you have to look at right now. And you collect wins. You start winning baseball games. You jump those teams. It's just the time that you look at the number of teams between them and the playoff spot is like mid-August or maybe early August at the earliest. Before that, when you have 70 games left, 90 games left, just win games. You win games, it'll take care of itself.
So let's say a month from now, you get to the trade deadline, and the Royals are 2, 3, 4 games over 500. They're a half game out of the AL Central lead. What do you do if you're Dayton Moore?
Well, it kind of depends. One, if you've gotten Duffy and Carnes back, and you're still just kind of hanging around, and if you're a half game out, you're really in the race. I think maybe you look at bringing in a reliever. I don't think there's a lot of places they would upgrade on the team, even though they're places that you think they should. But I think they'd probably maybe go out and get a middle relief arm, a seventh inning arm, something like that. Now, if they're two games under 500 and four games out, I don't know how you make a decision, honestly. I would probably personally sell at that point. But I don't see this current regime doing that. I think if they're within shouting distance of 500 in a playoff spot, and they're going to see it through. Now, the other side of this is if they're four games over 500 and a half game out of first place, and Danny Duffy has just come back, and Nate Karns has just come back, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, the Royals are going to look at those two guys, and they're going to say, we just acquired an ace and a number three, and we just added them to our rotation with no cost. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and hold. We're going to see what happens. We're going to run with these guys because they wouldn't be wrong necessarily at that point. My concern with the Duffy and Karns injuries were that they would be five games under 500 and seven games out and say, okay, we're getting these guys back. We have a chance to make up this ground. But if they're that close, then I think they're absolutely right to say we're getting these guys back, and these are big deadline acquisitions that we didn't have to give anything up for.
We're talking to David Leske of Baseball Prospectus Kansas City here, New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. The scenario that scares me is that the Royals do get up to around the division lead by the time the trade deadline arrives, and either they stand pat or maybe they even add some pieces, some minor pieces, as you kind of alluded to there, but then they don't make the postseason. And then you lose Mike Moustakas, you lose Eric Hosmer, you lose Lorenzo Cain, and who knows if they lose all of them, but I just know that the same people are saying, hell yeah, let's go all in, let's make one final hurrah before we lose all these guys. Then you don't make the postseason, you do lose those guys. And those are the same people, I think, who are going to crush Dayton Moore for allowing them to walk without getting even a postseason berth out of it.
No, you're absolutely right. And they're also the same people who would say, oh, you got to pull the starter here, and then when the reliever gives up three runs, why'd you pull the starter? You know, you can't think that way. You can't have result-based thinking in this regard. And if they're at a point when they're that close to the division lead, they're a few games over 500, you can't sell. And even if it doesn't work out, it doesn't mean it was the wrong decision. Ideally, you know, if that happens, I would still be disappointed. But if they're a game or two out of a playoff spot, and they gave it a valiant run. They did what they had to do. And, I mean, I've never seen a team except for maybe, who was the White Sox team, the White Flag, when they traded Danny Darwin? Was that 97? They got back a bunch of guys from the Giants, and they were like a game over 500 and two games out of first or something. And it was just crazy. You don't see that very often. And it takes incredible foresight from a general manager to do that. But I don't think Dayton Moore would make that trade, because if they're that close to the division lead, he's going to go for it with these guys, whether he should or not.
Yeah, and I think that we were talking about this in the opening segment, is the fact that the Royals go on that run in 2014, which was improbable to say the least, and you know, it led to a World Series victory the next year. But I think it also brings into the equation an aspect that a lot of other teams don't have to deal with, which is the fact that from the fan base, from the players themselves, from the people in the front office, they're all going to see that if they're within shouting distance of making it to the playoffs, that they believe they're just one hot run away from doing something special again, to whereas other organizations in baseball probably don't think that way, simply because they've never seen it happen to themselves, which I think, in a way, is a catch-22. It's a great thing because it's allowed you to have a ton of success over the last 3 years, but it also brings into the equation something that just doesn't happen very often, but because it happened to you, you think maybe there's an increased likelihood that you could do it again.
Well, and it's not just 2014. 2013, keep in mind, they were 43-49
right.
On
yeah.
The break. And then they won 86 games. And then last year, they went 7-19 in July, and they would have traded parts if Wade Davis wasn't hurt, if Lorenzo Cain wasn't hurt. Those guys would probably be gone. Well, Davis is anyway, obviously. But you know, they went 20, and I think it was 20-9 in August. So this team, it's not just 2014. They've done it a couple times, and they've shown. And then last year, the injuries just piled up at the end of the season. They couldn't hold on any longer. But they've shown that if they're healthy, I hate to use this because I feel like they use this as a crutch. This is a second half team. I mean, they really are. They've played well in the second half just about every year over the last four. Now, they struggled last year because of injuries. But if they're healthy, I think they're going to look at that and go, look, all we need to do is be fine before the All-Star break, and then we'll turn it on because we do it every year. And they may be wrong about that. that's what they're going to look at, because it's happened quite a bit for this organization over the last few seasons.
He's David Leske. I'm Nick Schwartz. It is Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Is what we're witnessing right now peak Mike Moustakas?
Yeah, it might be. He is, two seasons ago, it was all about, I'm going the other way, I'm making contact, I'm, all that. Last season, it was, he added a power back into it. Not that he didn't have power in 2015, but he was really hitting the ball a long way last season. And then he got hurt. And then early this year, it was, I'm going to turn on the ball, I'm going to hit a lot of fly balls. He's quietly gone back, a lot of contact. He's gone the other way a few times, but he's still turning on the ball. He's still hitting for a lot of power. Over the last few weeks, he's kind of combined all the best attributes of the last, I'll call last season, the whole season, of the last three seasons. And he is just on fire right now. This is about as good as it gets for Moustakas. And that's not to say that he's going to drop off demonstrably over the next few weeks. It's just he's at a point now where I think this is the best he's ever been.
He's David Leske. Check out his work at Baseball Prospectus Kansas City. That's bpkansascity.com. Thanks as always, man.
Of course. Thanks, Nick.
That is David Leske. I'm Nick Schwartz. Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. The fight that some of us, all of us, well, a few of us have been waiting for is finally going to happen in August. Mayweather versus McGregor. We'll talk about it next.